And they take evil and they call it good. And some people say that's worth of comments is this way, when most people who have, I don't know, 2 cents worth of common sense knows that that's not the case. And yet in the world today, we see this constantly, how I just don't understand how they could get it wrong. How many of you ever thought about that? How many on your Facebook, and I go back to Facebook a lot because I think Facebook is a tool. I think that it could be used for good, and I think it could be used for bad. And I think most of the time it's used for bad, but the few people that use it for good have a smaller friends list. If you got 5,000 friends, I promise you not everything on your Facebook is uplifting. Now, Pat over here, and I call him out quite a bit over here. He doesn't mind, I hope. But Pat over here, he likes to hit that little delete button on his Facebook over there. And praise God they put one on there for delete. Because I watch things, and there's people even in my own family and friends that I have, too, that they put stuff on Facebook, and they talk it as truth, that it's what's right to do, and so on and so forth. And I look at it, and I'm just bewildered at times. I just go, I don't understand how you think that this is a good thing. Let me tell you something. I'm not condemning you, but I'm going to tell you, abortion is not good. I'm sorry. Now, listen, if you've had one, I want you to know something, that God has forgiven you of your past sins. I want you to understand that. And that little baby is going to be in heaven with us. I want you to understand that too. I do not want you living in condemnation from anything like this. But I want you to understand something, that right is right and wrong is wrong. And I've made enough wrong choices in my life to tell you that God is a God of redemption. He's a God of restoration. He's a God that will forgive us and that will put us back in the right standing with him. But abortion is not good. It's not. And let me tell you something, telling your children that they are not what they were born to be is not good. How many of you ever watched Mr. Rogers when you were a kid? I'm sorry that Mr. Rogers is not playing on television anymore. I wish my kids could watch Mr. Rogers. He does this little thing and he's singing this little song about how boys will be boys and girls will be girls, and it's not malice, it's not mean, it's not about trying to be, you know, dogmatic. He's just stating the simple truth. But there are people that are blinded to what the truth is out there. And I sit back and I say, I don't understand how they could get so far off the scale. And then you know what? If we need an answer, where do we go to? We turn right into this thing right here. If you want to know why, that's what we're going to look at today, is we're going to see why so many in this world are so blinded to the truth. Amen? Now, what's that got to do with us? Well, I'm here to tell you, we got Christians who are blinded. We got Christians that call bad good, good bad. And it's a shame, because when I see them and they speak up for that, I have to think to myself, oh, mercy. Oh, I don't want to be accountable for that stuff. And I pray for them. I don't get mad at them. I don't get dogmatic for them. I pray for them. I pray for them, and we're going to get into this, but for their eyes to be opened up to where they can see. How many of you want to know? I know, matter of fact, we have a young lady in our church here that has problems with vision, physical vision. But let me tell you something. Physical blindness is nothing compared to spiritual blindness. I remember a time when I couldn't hear. My most used word in my vocabulary was, huh? Anybody ever heard that? Somebody say something, I go, huh? Huh? My wife would talk to me, I go, huh? Now I do it on purpose. I'm telling all my secrets today. But I remember what life was like before that. You know, I would go and I missed out on so much, conversations that were happening. My kids would say things I would miss. And matter of fact, and sometimes they would give the wrong cues. Like my kid would be telling me something and I wouldn't catch it or what they said. And so I would just kind of ignore it. And they would think, man, my dad doesn't care what they're saying about me. Or if somebody would come and talk to me and they and I would, instead of saying, would you repeat yourself, I would just go, while they're telling me that they're bankrupt or something. And then they're looking at me like I'm crazy. And what happens is that when we have something that dulls our senses, we miss out on what's available. Let me tell you that again. What if you couldn't hear? I've been in this situation, right? Somebody said, hey, I got $1,000 for you. I want to give to you today. Huh? That's right. Huh? Now, if you couldn't hear it, how are you going to receive that blessing? You stand out and just go like this. And be like, okay, all right, let me move on. How many of you want to have your spiritual eyes open? How many of you want to see what God has for us? So the first thing we need to look at is, if you got your Bibles, there's a story in the Bible. I thought this was so interesting. As I was meditating on the Amazing Grace song this week, and I got over and I started thinking about Jesus and how he healed the blind man. And he did it so unorthodox. You know, he spit in mud. That don't surprise y'all? That surprised me. I'm just going to be honest with you. Jesus spit into some dirt and made some eye of mud and then put it on some dude's eyes. Now, if I'm standing around and I'm watching this, I'm going now I know John the Baptist is a little crazy. He's eating, you know, wild honey and locusts and stuff. But Jesus, come on now. He heals this man. This man then goes and he's everybody sees him. They know him. They know the man. Here he is. His eyesight has been restored. And so the Pharisees come to him after he's been healed. And you know what happens is the Pharisees look at him and Jesus heals him on the Sabbath. And they don't even say anything about the healing. They talk about the Sabbath. They say, oh, well, he couldn't be really a man of God because a man of God wouldn't break the Sabbath to heal somebody. And so they start questioning this man, and they start asking him, saying, you know, who is this? Matter of fact, they wouldn't even believe him. The Pharisees, even though they had seen him, don't be coy. The Pharisees walked by. They saw this man. But they said, you know, we're not going to believe him until we get two or three witnesses. So get his parents in here. Let's talk to his parents. And so they go get his mom and dad. They bring him in there, and they say, hey, is this boy lying? They say, ask him yourself. Why are you talking to me? The parents, they talk to him. So they go to him and say, now listen now. The man who healed you now, he's sinning. He did this on the Sabbath, and here's what the man says to him in John 9:25. I love it. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But one thing I know, how many of you need to know this today? One thing you need to know is that although you were blind, now you see. Amen. I started thinking about that for myself, and I'm telling you right now, God saved me in a way that looked unorthodox to me. When I came into this church, y'all, how many of y'all are upset with the chairs? Don't raise your hands. Don't raise your hand. Okay, good. Listen, stop it, Brianna. Brianna was so sweet. She called me this morning, asked me if I wanted some coffee or something on the way to church this morning. She's so sweet. Don't turn that off now. You keep that sweetness going on here. When we first started coming to this church, y'all know I didn't want to come here. If you didn't know that, I didn't want to come here. My family came here, and although I kind of liked them a little bit, I didn't want to be around them that much. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding, Brother Rob. He's saying he thinks the same thing. But we started coming, and my wife started making us come to church here, and we sat right here on the second row, right beside Miss Jeanette, as a matter of fact. This is where we sat at. And we sat here, and I was determined to disprove everything that this church taught. I thought that, you know, Pastor Mays was an absolute, well, I called him a nut. He knows that, so y'all can't blackmail me. He knows that. I said that. But as we started coming to church here and I started seeking God, God started showing himself to me in ways that I did not understand. And he started moving in ways that I did not understand. And I questioned a lot of it. I didn't understand this whole thing about the power of God. What's all this about? I go, what are you talking about? Man, I saw all these people laid out over here and stuff, and I thought, now, this is just silly. This is ridiculous. I saw people. Now, back in the day, we had runners. How many of you know what runners are? Yeah, we had runners. Boy, they'd take a lap around the church if you'd cut them loose now. Yeah, Brianna's like, yeah. Did you tackle one or two of them in your day? Weird. They're weird. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it's okay to be a little weird for Jesus. They got up and they would take around the church and they run up. And I just thought to myself, now these people are lunatics. I did think the same thing. I thought, now this is crazy. This is all just made up, some kind of nonsense they got going on. Let me disprove all this. And so I studied scripture and I read things and I watched. How many of you want to know you can find whatever you want on the internet to support how you think? I guarantee you. If you want to prove somebody wrong, look it up. You'll prove somebody's wrong. That's fine. If you want to prove them they're right, you'll look it up and you'll prove them they're right. See, that's what happens with the worldly truth. See, the worldly truth is wishy-washy, back and forth. See, God's truth is divine. It is set in stone. There is no other way. It is right and it is wrong. And that's what the devil can't stand. So when it's happening with these Pharisees, they go up to him and they say, hey, what's all this about? He said, listen, I was once blind, but now I see. That's the beauty of what happens when Jesus Christ comes into your life. There's a scripture here. You got your Bibles, we'll flip over here. If you don't, good old Robbie to the rescue. Somebody said, well, I can't read anyway. You keep the lights down. I know. One day I'm going to see a bunch of little, there you go. Got your phones out with the lit up screen. I'm going to see a bunch of flashlights one day, aren't I? Everybody going to be looking like that. Somebody talked to me one time. They said, we're doing a new Bible reading. Y'all remember Matt, my buddy Matt? So he calls me the other day. He's on his way to Germany today, flying over there. But he called me the other day, and he said, you know, I really want to get back into the Word of God. And I said, well, let's do it. So we're going to start a little weekly Bible study between the two of us and a reading plan. And so we're reading this Bible recap. Y'all have heard of this? We're going to do this Bible recap. But anyway, so he's talking about, well, get a digital Bible. Can I encourage you? Nothing wrong with your phone, but own a physical Bible too. There's just something beautiful about having a Bible that I mark up. Because you know what happens is there are times when I pull this thing out, and I use my phone. I don't want you to be misunderstanding here. I use my phone. God just takes me right where I need to be. It's just something about this that I'll flip it open, and just something draws me. As a matter of fact, it's the Holy Spirit. It's drawing me right where I need to be in this. And then there's something about a physical point of touch between the two. Why do you think we pray for people? You understand? I know God could do anything, but when there's a point of contact that happens there. That's the same thing with the Word of God. I wanted a point of contact with God's Word. I just want to encourage you. If you don't have one, let me know. I'll get you one. But I believe everybody should have a Bible. But anyway, let's flip over. God, I've preached 17 messages this morning. Y'all still with me already? Okay, all right. So let's go into 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4. The number one thing we got to know is we got to know what the enemy's strategy is. So we got to know how he is trying to do what he wants to do. Here's what the Bible reads. I'm going to back up. I'm going to read 3 and 4. Robbie, I don't know if you can pull that up, but 3 or 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God. Now, if you've got a Bible, I want you to notice that G is a little g. Everybody understand that? If you don't have it in your Bible and it's on your phone, it ought to be a little g. If it's not, you need to write into the Apple makers, whatever they are, tell them it's wrong. But it says, whose minds the God of this age. Everybody say age. Now, let me change that out. Another version, the NIV says the God of this world. The God of this world. And you think, well, now, wait a second, there's only one God. The devil's referred to in the Bible as the God of this world, the prince of this world, so on and so forth. It's talking about Satan himself. So what you're reading right here is where Paul is actually writing. He says, whose minds the God of this world, the devil of this world, has blinded who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. The tactic of the devil is to have spiritual blindness. What he wants to do is he wants to keep those who are not saved blinded to what the truth of the gospel will do for them. That's the number one thing he wants to do. See, if he could keep you from seeing the true light that's there, if he could keep you from seeing the power of the gospel, then you won't want it. How many of you ever walked into a room and late at night, no lights on, and you can't see where you're going, and you're fumbling around? Anybody ever done that before? How many of you ever stumped your toe as you're going around and then said, thank you, Jesus? Yeah, I knew no hands would go up there. And I don't want to know what you really said. That's when you were God. Hallelujah. Okay. When you walk into that room and there's complete darkness, you don't know where you're going. You don't know what's in there. You can't see nothing. But what happens when you reach on that wall right there and you flip that switch and that light comes on? Now, all of a sudden, your steps, everything is clearly laid out for you. Everything that's in that room, if you need to go into the kitchen, you flip the light on, you know right where the microwave is so you can use it, right? No, right where the silverware drawer is that you can go and get you a fork that's needed down. Let me tell you, that's what the gospel does to us in our lives, is that we are living in darkness before we have Jesus. And the moment that we accept him as our Lord and Savior, the light switch comes on for us. And you know what? Light and darkness can't exist in the same place at the same time. So when we flip that switch on and that light is lit up, now I get to see all the things there that God has laid out for me at my disposal, not because I'm worthy, but because he did it for me and you. Because he said the devil has already been defeated. You got to know the strategy of the devil. The devil wants to blind the unbelievers so that they stay unbelievers. Do you understand? I said this morning that we're trying to build an army of God's people. How many of you are a soldier in God's army? Some of us are on different levels of that, soldiers. Some of us are privates. Some of us are captains. Some of us are generals. I'm just grateful to be in the army. And here's what I say. God, I don't care what position I'm in. Put me in the position of battle that you need me in. Strengthen me while I'm in there, God. Give me the tools. Tell me exactly what it is that I need to be doing for your kingdom. I don't look and say, boy, I really wish I was a machine gun operator. Or I really wish that I could drive a, what do they call those, deuce and a half or whatever those things are. Is that what it is? Here's what I say, Lord, if you want me to serve in the kitchen, I'm going to serve in the kitchen. That's right. God, if you want me to wash dishes, I'm going to wash dishes. Now, God, if you want me on the front line, I'm going to be on the front line. See, it's not about one person. It's about the unit as a whole, God's army, because I want God's army to be unstoppable. Because here's the reason why I want those people who are unbelievers to be able to see the true light of the gospel. How many of you got friends and family that you want to see come to Christ? I think one of the most heartbreaking things as a parent is to watch your children once operate in God's love and leave. I can't imagine, to be honest with you. My mother spent countless nights crying and praying, asking God to draw me back in when I was in places that to this day I won't even tell her about. I just want to encourage you, parents. The Bible says the way they should go when they grow old, they will not depart. Now, let me tell you what. Sometimes old ain't an age. Old is maturity. And I was a little older than others, but finally started getting a little mature. My wife would say probably that much mature. But and I want to let you know that your prayers are effective. Don't stop praying. Amen, Miss Jennifer. Amen. This young man over here, Jordan, I'm going to call him out, and I know he was with some others. He texted me yesterday and invited me to come to a, is it okay? Can I share that, brother? All right. I probably should have asked that before I said something, huh? He texted me and he said, I want to invite you to come to this revival with me. You've been on my heart, and I just wanted to invite you to come. And I started thinking, now here's a boy that I know his story, and that he walked away. Am I right, Jordan? You walked away, didn't you, buddy? But his mother kept praying. I kept praying. As a church, we kept praying. Now the boy's driving 3.5 hours to go to a revival because he wants to see God move. Now let me tell you something. See, the devil doesn't want that light shining. He wants you to be blinded to it. That's the strategy of him. But I'm telling you right now, it's time for the church to wipe the scales off of our spiritual eyes. The church has been blind to what the devil's been doing. You know why? Because we've been taking a second seat to it, a back seat to what's going on in the world today and in our own families and in our own homes. And we've just kind of acted like everything was fine. But I'm here to tell you, not everything is fine in the world. These people are dying every day. I have a young girl that her father overdosed and died 2 days ago, and she's 9 years old. The boy was blinded. He was blinded to the truth of what the gospel could do for him. And although people had talked to him, the devil had put a veil over his eyes. That's the strategy of the devil. But I'm telling you right now, church, it's time for us to wake up, open our eyes up, and start doing something about it. And let me tell you, it's not going to happen by us just showing up on Sunday mornings. We get together for an hour and a half here. It's not going to be enough. It's not going to be enough. We got to carry it with us. You know what you got to do? You got to start walking in the light. Second thing here, I want you to know that you got to know how to battle. If the devil is out to blind us then, so now we need to understand what we're really fighting against. So if you take your Bibles, we'll flip over here real quickly. We'll look in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. Now that's the rulers of darkness of this world. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. It ain't no physical battle. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't have to go out and arm wrestle anybody. But I'm telling you right now, the devil is a liar and he's full of deceit. And he's a con man. And he's a deceiver in every, he's a counterfeit. But he's an awfully good one. If you don't know what you're looking for, it'll pass off as something as holy. That's what's happened to churches of people in America today. We've gotten we are blinded to God's truth because you know what we're following? We're following some preacher and not the Holy Ghost. I'm watching these things on TikTok and Facebook and all these other things, and I see some of these, and they sound so good. They tickle my ears when I hear them. I'm like, ooh, man, that feels good. But then when I take it and I put it to Scripture, it's about as hollow as a bat that's been bored out. I'm tired of it. Because you know what happens? Christians start flocking to it. See, the devil just doesn't want to keep the unbelievers blinded. He wants to blind the believers that are here now. See, because we'll allow him to blind us. We will allow him to put a veil over our eyes too. Even though you may be born again, you may have the Holy Spirit inside of you, but if you're not looking, if you're not putting it to the test of Scripture, if you're allowing yourself, the devil is going to blind you too. So you know what you got to do? You got to start taking this out of the physical and start taking it into the supernatural. You know where, you ever heard this? I fight my battles on my knees. Man, I fight my battles in my words. Not because they're my words, but because of the authority that Jesus' name carries in the words. When I get out there and talk to that weather, I'm not, that my neighbor said to me yesterday, and it really, and I know he didn't mean anything by it. He's a good guy, Jack. He's a, not Sean back there. Y'all don't think it's Sean, not Sean. My other neighbor. He said, he told me why. He says, I feel safe. I'm by the pastor out here. And I thought to myself, well, you fool. Ain't got nothing to do with me. Do you not hear what I'm saying? In the name of Jesus, you won't come near my dwelling. In the name of Jesus, I speak protection. In the name of Jesus, I call in guardian angels. In the name of Jesus is where it's at, not in the name of Mike. The name of Mike ain't going to get you nowhere. And if you want to pull up TikTok and watch some of these other people on there, or Facebook or what have you, I'm telling you that if you want to do it in their name, you're going to get nowhere too. They come and go like the tide. They come in, they make an influence, and then they're gone. And then to come in and make an influence, I'm not saying it's all bad. I'm saying put it to the test, though. Put it, take it to the spiritual test. You'll be blinded, and what will happen is you'll go, one day, why am I not winning? You're not winning because you ain't fighting with the right weapon. You fighting with the man-made weapon. I'm fighting with the spiritual-made weapon, the supernatural-made weapon. I'm fighting with, I'm fighting with the Holy Ghost. Who I'm fighting with. Matter of fact, he goes out. Where I go, he goes. When I look at something like that, I don't go, oh, man. You know, when people, when you ask to be prayed for, do you know that I'm not praying in the physical? I'm not saying a word in the physical. I'm praying in the supernatural. I'm letting the power of God, the Holy Ghost that's inside of me, come out. You ought to receive your healing through that because it's the power that's in you that makes you whole too. I'm telling you, folks, we got to stop looking to people and start looking to God. Preachers want to get up and they want to have all these things. And I'm not saying there's bad things. We have a beautiful church here. We have no lack in this church. Y'all ready to go already? This is a gorgeous church. You know, I'm in awe of what God has done here. You know, 28 years ago, pastor came with $42 in his pocket. And that's, let me tell you something. I'm not boasting on pastor. I'm boasting on God. Because it could have been you. If God told you to come here with $42 in your pocket, this would be the same result. It's about the obedience. But here it is now. We got this church, beautiful grounds, and everything else that's here right now. And you know that there are pastors that would walk in here and say, well, this is no good. You know what we need? We need the big fly screen televisions. Let's get us the smoke machines. Let's hire in the marketing team to come in. Look, how much thousands of dollars we can put out in advertisements, so on and so forth. They would look at everything else. They would fight everything in the natural and never look at the supernatural for answers. Well, Pastor Mike, you changed our chairs. Yeah, I know. You got some TVs up there. Yeah, I know. I'm not looking to this. Are y'all looking to this? I'm looking to this. That's right. I'm not looking at all this other. All this stuff here is just tools. That's all this. This building is just nothing more than a building for us to congregate. You understand? This is the temple of God. This is where it's at. I have church every day. Y'all don't need to come here. I come here to try to encourage you, but you know I encourage myself daily. I have church right here, right where I'm at, everywhere I go. If you see me somewhere, I guarantee you, I learned this from Pastor a long time ago. I'm singing God's praises. Look what the Lord has done. Thank you, Jesus. I walk through the store. People think I'm nuts, and I don't care. Oh, man, what's that guy doing? He need to take his medication today. I did. I took my gospel this morning. We got to start fighting in the supernatural, because I'm going to tell you right now, a supernatural problem will never be solved with a worldly solution. Oh, I'm going to say it one more time. Your supernatural problem will never be solved with your worldly solution. If you got something going on in your family or something else is going on, that you need something, God, to move in your life, we always looking for the visible answer. Give me what this is. God, I need a job. And I'm not telling you not to seek. We talked about this last week. You go, you do your part about it. But you know what the final thing was? Is you knock on the door that God presents for you to walk through. Now, it's a supernatural walk that you do with that. And so what I want to tell you right now is that some of you are looking for answers in all the wrong places. If you would start looking to God, seek your supernatural resolve. Jennifer, now you be truthful. Did you talk Jordan into coming back into church? Did you preach him back in here? Say it real loud.
No, I didn't. That would have chased him away.
Now, where did you fight that battle? On your knees. I know, because she came to me. We prayed together more than once. I know this group of ladies over here prayed together for you, Jordan, and for Cassidy up there too. Damien, you too, buddy. For this whole family up here. Let me tell you something. This is not by chance that you all are here today. You are an answer. It was a physical problem that they had, or a spiritual problem that they had that needed to be solved without a physical answer, not a worldly answer. If she'd have just talked them to death, they wouldn't have come. But when you take it into prayer, God starts moving. That's his realm. That's that supernatural realm. And I'm telling you right now, instead of stop talking about the problem and start talking to the problem. If there's something in your life that needs to come out, start telling it to get out in the name of Jesus. If you've got hostility or anger in your house, start talking to it. In the name of Jesus, get out. If you've got an addiction, if you're bound by something, whatever it may be that you're trying to be set free by, speak to it in the name of Jesus. Don't tell people about it. Don't tell God about it. God is telling you to speak to it. Supernaturally tell it to get up and be cast into the sea. It'll work. The word will work for you. Number three, the power of the Holy Spirit. Opening our spiritual eyes. See, God has not left us powerless in the spiritual war that we're in. He set us up for success. He's given us the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth to us and to empower us to be able to not just fight the devil. Matter of fact, don't wear yourself out trying to fight the devil. Some people can do that, and you spiritually wore out. Matter of fact, you're up on the spiritual junk heap because you got yourself all worked up and spent all this time on what you really needed to do was cast your cares upon the Lord. Well, what you really needed to do was just resist the devil and let him flee from you. Sometimes what happens is the Bible tells us we've never been tempted more than what we can handle. Because when God is with us, temptation is only as great as the power that we give it. Here's what happens. I cut it off at the knees before it even could stand up. When something comes up my way, when I quit smoking, and not that smoking is bad, but let me just, I've talked about it. Don't get mad at me about smoking, people. Don't write me letters about that. I've been there a lot, okay? I've been there. 24 years I smoked cigarettes. It's one of the hardest things I've ever done was quitting, and that's why I talk about it. Because I couldn't have done it and maintained it without the power of the Holy Ghost. See, I wanted to quit something that had bondage over me. The Bible says that all things are lawful for me, but not all things are good for me. So I wasn't going to hell because I smoked a cigarette, but I was tired of spending $5 a pack that time for a cigarette, which I think they're like $10 a pack now. I was tired of being enslaved to it. I didn't want to have that bondage over me anymore with that. Now, here's what you could do. When you get sick and tired or getting sick and tired, you know what you do? You say, God, take it away from me. I've had enough. I can't do this, Lord. In the power of the Holy Spirit now, I need to be set free of this. And it took me more than once to say in that. But do you know today that you could light a cigarette right beside me? Smoke? Does it bother me? I don't have a temptation. I don't want it. It doesn't even come close to me of a desire anymore. You know that's not of me. That's of the Holy Ghost that's inside of me. I did $2,300 worth of cocaine in the month of February one time. $2,300 worth of cocaine. I stopped and never touched it again. This May will be 18 years since I've done anything. And it ain't because of the name of Mike. It's because of the power of the Holy Ghost that gives me the victory in the spiritual battle that I'm really in. See, it's not the drugs that you're battling. It's the devil behind the drugs that you're battling. It's not the anger that you're battling. It's the demon behind it that keeps whispering in your ear to make you mad. I'm telling you, it's not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle. Amen? Y'all ready to whip up on him? We need to. So, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the strategies of the enemy and the power of God that is inside of you to be able to combat and defeat the devil. How many of you need to know that you need to have your eyes open to see that? See, what happens is I know I got to get y'all out of here. Man, I could talk. We need to have a camp meeting one day. That's what we need. We need to have a camp meeting. Y'all, we do. Well, we can have food. We need to be here for hours. Because I'm telling you, not just me. We need other people teaching as well. We need the word of God more. Who cares? If you're trying to get home, I'll let you go. If y'all want to go ahead and go on out, you can go on out. I'm good with it. Ain't going to bother me one bit. I'm not going to get discouraged. But let me tell you what used to happen. We used to have a hunger for the word. Where we would sit down and we would just get fed. And the more we ate, the hungrier we got for it. Well, what's happened now is now we want microwave little mini meals. We want to pop in a banquet, a word banquet meal for a minute and a half. And then let me just digest. Well, I've had enough for now. I'm settled. Let me go back out here. We need to be on fire and hungry for God's word. The more that we get on fire for God's word, I'm telling you, you know what happened? You'll see more victory in God's people who are hungry than you'll ever see in any other church that gets you out in 30 minutes. Amen. I'm going to change the time. We're going to start coming to church at 6 o'clock in the morning. Amen? Oh, yeah, I knew nobody. No hands went up there, did it? Trust me, my hand didn't go up either. 6 o'clock is too early. Well, I'd have forgot where I was at now. Listen, we got to know the truth that sets us free. And it's the power of the Holy Ghost that's inside of us that teaches that. And here's what happens is, if you're studying into the Word of God, you're not going to know how to defeat your enemy until you know your enemy. And here's what the Bible tells you. The Bible doesn't talk about, you know what? Preachers do this, and I've been guilty about this too. We talk about the devil more than we talk about the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, I'm guilty of it too. We talk about the enemy more than we talk about the one who defeats the enemy. Here's what I want to tell you. He is a master deceitful God, but do you understand he is powerless? He's already been defeated. Man, it's not like a question. It's already been done when Jesus was on that cross. He says, it is finished. It is finished, folks. I'm telling you, the battle has already been won. But he's trying to deceive you. He wants to blind the Christians to think that he still has power over you and that you still have to give in to what he wants you to do. But I'm here to tell you that he don't have no power. You've got the power. You've got the power of the Holy Ghost inside of you. And if you don't, you need it. That is what's different amongst our church and other churches out there. See, a lot of churches talk about the Holy Ghost. A lot of churches even say that you have the Holy Ghost inside of you. But what I'm telling you is that it is the power from the Holy Ghost that teaches you all the strategies to beat the devil so you can live victoriously. And I don't mean quietly. I mean the devil will go running if you tell him to flee in the name of Jesus. His knees will shake. But you got to say it with authority. You got to believe it. You can't just try to be, don't be living off my faith. Don't be coming to, Brother Jerry, I'm gonna use your authority that you got in the name of Jesus through the power. That ain't going to do no good. Matter of fact, I read a story in the Bible where a couple of brothers tried to do this, and they went to cast out some demons, and the demons said, hold on, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you that you coming up in here trying to tell me this? What I'm trying to tell you, build up your own relationship with God. Get your own Holy Ghost flowing up inside of you. So when you go up to them, you say, in the name of Jesus, be gone, it's going to be gone. It ain't going to go. Well, who do you think you are? I'm the child of God. I'm the one that's filled with the Holy Ghost inside. I'm the one that's got the authority and the power over you. I'm the one that's telling you that binds you in the name of Jesus, that what will be done on earth will be done in heaven. And I'm telling you right now, get on up out of here. Oh, we don't want to do that. We want to play. We want to play games with the devil sometimes. I'm trying to tell you, checkmate him. Stop trying to look for your next move, man, and just move on in for the kill. He doesn't have any power. Stop giving it to him. And if you don't know how to do it, say, Holy Ghost, show me, teach me, illuminate it to me, and then get in the Word of God where you can find it. You won't have revelation. You can read the Bible. You can know this book from cover to cover. Anybody ever heard of eidetic memories? You know what these are? Where you just, when you see it, you remember it, you know it forever. You know what? I praise God I'm not that way. I asked God one time. I said, Lord, I'm trying to remember all those scriptures. I'm trying to memorize, and I can't remember any of them. John 3:16 is the only one I could ever remember, Lord. And even then, sometimes I get it wrong. God, what? I don't understand, Lord. Why is this? I've read it 900 times. I'm telling you, I've read the book from cover to cover. I've read the New Testament many, many, many times. And I cannot sit here and quote you scriptures. And I used to think there's something spiritually wrong with me. There's got to be something wrong with me. I said, God, I don't understand. Why can't I remember this? Here's what the Lord said. If you could remember it, you'd never read it. Ho! Check me in my spirit. I said, thank you, God. Let me be a short thing. Because let me tell you what does happen. When I need it, the Holy Spirit brings it up out of me. That's why I need the Holy Ghost. See, he's going to bring to remembrance what I need to be speaking in that moment. You understand? That's why I don't study this piece of paper sitting up here. I don't go up there. You know why I don't like that? That's me. I'm telling you, when I'm down here, I'm nobody. I'm still just a man that God is using, and I praise him for it. And most people say, well, do you remember? I don't remember nothing. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. Go to the store. Well, you better send me a list. Better send me a list two or three different ways, too. Just don't write it down because I'm going to forget the piece of paper. Don't send it to me in a text message because I'm probably going to leave my phone in the car. You better make sure I got it. But here's what I'm telling you. When the Holy Ghost is walking around with you, everywhere inside of you, you got it all the time. All you got to do is say, Holy Ghost, show me. Give it to me right now. I want it, God. Move right now. When I pray for you, you understand that's what I'm saying. Holy Ghost, let it be done now. Let your word be true and every man be a liar. Woo. And you know God doesn't disappoint. His word does not return back void. What happens is when we start relying on him like that and the supernatural like that, all of a sudden our strategies against the devil are effective. I don't deal with depression anymore. I've sat there with the gun loaded. I've been ready to pull the trigger. I'm telling you, I've wanted to stay in the darkness, didn't want to get up out of bed in the mornings because I just didn't want to face the day. I've been there. I've looked at my wife and family and thought they would be better off without me. But I'm here to tell you, I have been set free from those things. They will never come back into my mind again. Not because of the name of Mike, but because of the name of Jesus that was exercised through the authority and the power of the Holy Ghost. When I say, I bind you, devil, I bind you. When I say, I bind that spirit of depression, I bind that spirit of depression. In the name of Jesus, it is bound. And you know what happens? I don't have to deal with it every day. Sometimes they'll fly over to me, but you know what? I recognize, I know the Holy Spirit has said, here's the strategy. You see it's coming. Now you're prepared to handle it. Don't let it nest up in your head. So before it even gets close to my house, I start talking to it when I can just sense it out there. And it ain't about me working it all up. Now, I work up in the morning talking. I know I'm sweating up here, but let me tell you, that's not how I fight the devil. You think I yell and scream at the devil? I ain't got to yell and scream at the devil. It's as simple as that. You're not coming near my children, devil. In the name of Jesus, you're not going to have them. You're not coming near my finances, devil. I like to bless God's people. I like to be a blessing. You're not going to come near my finances. You're not going to come near my sobriety. You're not going to tempt me with nothing, devil. In the name of Jesus, I bind you. I put you out on the outer shelves. You can't come near me. That's as simple as it is. I don't have to yell to be authoritative. This man right back here in the back, he got him a nice little badge and everything right here. I guarantee you, Sean doesn't have to yell at me to get me to comply if he pulls me over. He doesn't have to yell at me to show me my hands. Show me my driver's license. Now, some of y'all have seen maybe some other people they got to yell at, but he ain't got to do it to me. It's the authority. It's not Sean. It's the authority that's behind Sean. The Holy Spirit is inside of you. Do you understand? That's the authority that's behind your battles. You ain't got to be loud. You ain't got to be obnoxious. You just got to know and believe and stand firm. You're not coming here. You're not taking my health. You're not taking my mental health. You're not taking my sobriety. You're not taking my joy. You're not taking my physical healing. You're not taking any of it, devil. Because in the name of Jesus, you've got no authority here. That's as simple as it is. And if we'll do that, I'm telling you, he'll flee. And what happens is that you start operating in the fourth thing, which is walking in the true full gospel. That's what the devil's trying to blind us from. The devil wants us to be blinded from walking in the full gospel. Because see, that's where love is. That's where power is. That's where your authority is. That's where your peace is. That's where everything that God has for you is. And so if the devil can blind you from walking in it or believing in it or even knowing in it, then he can stop you right dead in your tracks. I don't know about you, but when I found out that there was more to it than just being saved, that I found out that I can be victorious even through trials and tribulations, when I found out that even when bad things happen, that I don't have to succumb and give up everything, that God is not just carrying me through, he's carrying me above. When I started realizing that, I thought, I want all of it. I don't want just this little piece, God. I want the whole pie. I want everything that you have for me, Lord. And it was in that moment when I made that decision that I started walking in the fullness of the gospel, not just in the one piece of it. Everybody stand with me this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. I want to ask a question across the congregation today. See, in the very beginning, I was blinded to just the truth in general. I was like these people that I was telling you about, that I had it twisted, that I thought that bad was good and good was bad, and I couldn't see the true light, what the reality of truth really was. The world had had me blinded. And for many, many years, I walked that way. Maybe that's you here today. Maybe you're blinded by that. But today, the Holy Spirit is talking to your heart, and Jesus is standing at your door, and he's knocking, and he says, just like in creation, the first thing that God created was light, in the new creation, you're made light in your spirit. God wants to have your spirit be reborn today. If there's anybody here that's not accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior, it says today, I want to be able to see. I want my blinders taken off today. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand right where you're at. Anyone here at all today?